Welcome everybody to Student Sunday. How's everybody doing this morning? You doing well? Very good. We thought that today we would do things a little bit differently and shake things up. And one of the things that we do with our students every single week is we take time to pray for one another. We take time to pray for the church. We take time to pray for God's word to spread throughout the world through his church, through his missionaries. And we wanted to invite you guys to participate with that this morning. So thank you guys so much for letting us push you outside your comfort zone a little bit and praying with one another. However, within our student ministry, we tend to do things a little bit atypical. And we do things in groups. And we're going to do a little bit of that, continue that some more this morning. So I'd love for you to get into your groups again one more time. Don't travel too far, but nobody should be by themselves. So get into a group because I have a project for you to work on. So shift, turn to the people next to you. You'll probably need your bulletin and maybe something to write with, okay? All right, the last couple times we got into a group, we did some serious stuff. We're doing some prayer. This one's a little bit more fun. I'd love for you, I'm going to give you about a minute to a half to brainstorm all the songs that you could sing. All right? All the songs. Start listing them. Write them down on your bulletin, all right? Mary Had a Little Lamb. Happy Birthday to You. Feliz Navidad. Come up with your list. Together. Brainstorm. Any songs. 3, 2, 1, time is up. All right, take your list, count up how many you have. Real quick, Laura, give me one name of a song off your list. Jesus Loves Me. Did you guys get that one? All right. Okay, what'd you guys have on your list? Give me one.
Underdog.
Like the cartoon Underdog?
Underdog.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about that one the other day. Underdog. All right. What did you guys have? Dora the Explorer. Yes. Oh, yes. What did you guys have?
Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace. Did you guys have that one, too? All right. Well, very good. Well, hold on to your list. We're going to come back to that in just a little bit. All right. It's hard to believe, but it was 9 years ago when the very first one of these was introduced. When there was a guy who was up on stage, he pulled it out of his pocket and he talked about how amazing this new invention is. The very first iPhone. And in the introduction of it, he went on to explain that not only can this thing be used to make phone calls and to text people, but this is like a mini computer that's right there in your pocket. And right along with that, with this amazing invention was another part of it, another new invention. The idea of the App Store. And he talked about how, you know what, if you want to have something that tells you how many steps you take in a day, there's an app for that. You remember that phrase? Yeah, it was all the time. If you want to be able to track how many calories you eat in a day, well, guess what, there's an app for that. I use my Fitbit for that. If you want to be able to keep track of your budget, there's an app for that. I use YNAB. If you need an app to help you order pizza, there's an app for that. I got Papa John's on my phone. If you want to have an app to order anything to your heart's desire, guess what? Amazon has an app. If you want to be able to listen to music, guess what? You have a plethora of options for streaming music. You have the iTunes, but you also have Spotify or Pandora. There's so many apps. Anything that you would love to be able to do with your phone, guess what? There's an app for that. As a matter of fact, right now, there's 2.2 million apps you can get if you have an iPhone. If you have an Android phone, you can double that. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? Literally, there is an app for just about anything that you could want to do. Like I said, I use Spotify for my music. I listen to a lot of music. And I know if I had to sit down and make a list of all the songs that I could sing, I mean, the few minutes that I gave you guys would not be enough. Was anybody done yet making your list? You were still working on it, weren't you? How many songs did you guys have on your list? Shout it out. 10, 9, what? 60? Wow. Oh, 16? 27? That's it? Did you get We Wish You a Merry Christmas? Jingle Bells? I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas? And I haven't gotten off of Christmas yet. Away in a Manger, yes. One of my favorite apps on my phone is the Bible app. It started off called YouVersion. And it's really cool because you have this Bible app and you are able to read not just one version, but there are hundreds of versions of the Bible on here. And they have reading plans to help you read a little bit each and every day. There's so many of them that you can choose from. And maybe you're a person who reads a little slow like I do. Well, guess what? They have this feature where it will read to you the version that you want to listen to into the section of the Bible that you want to listen to. It's amazing. You know, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at this idea of believe. And we've been reading through the Believe book together. And did you guys bring your Believe books with you today? Yeah. All right, very good. And if you didn't and you don't have one, I believe we still have some on the table outside through the foyer. The first week of the Believe, we talked about God and how God is the creator of the universe. And not only is he the creator of the universe, but our God is three in one. He is the Father, he is the Son, and he is the Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 2, week 2, we talked about that not only is God this huge, powerful being, but he is a God who cares about each and every one of us. And he is involved intimately in each of our lives. And then last week, Sherm was talking with us about the fact that not only is God intimately involved in each and every one of our lives, but he has provided a way for us to have a relationship with him. And we use this big word called salvation. And we discovered that God desperately wants to be involved with our lives. He wants to have a relationship with us, and he wants to have a relationship with us not only here, but forever with him in eternity. And if you read... Well, before we get to that, and in the last week or so, the last couple of weeks, Sherm has thrown out this concept that, you know, we should take some time to evaluate kind of where we're at with our faith, with our walk with God. And we've had those Christian, I want to get it wrong. Sherm, what's it called? Christian Life Profile, thank you. The Christian Life Profile, we would love for everybody to take some time to fill it out. And to help kind of see where we're at with our walk with God right now. And then when we're done, we'll get a chance to take it again and see how much we've grown. And, I mean, if I was in Stuco right now, I would ask my students to raise their hands if they've actually done the homework that they were given, to kind of call out those who didn't, to encourage everybody else to come along. But I'll be nice, I won't do that here. But if you just got nervous, you need to fill it out. All right, so please take some time to fill that out. And then when you get done, do us a favor. Turn in the last page to the office. It'll be anonymous. We don't need to know who it came from, just so that we can see as a church kind of where we're at right now and where we're going to end up in a few months, okay? So don't forget to take some time to fill that out and turn that in. This last week, as we were reading through the chapter, we started reading some scripture about God's word, about the Bible, and why he has given us this. And today, I would love to answer this question. What can I do to grow in my relationship with God? Wouldn't that be good to know? I mean, if God wants to have a relationship with us, and that's kind of the crux of what our message was last week. Today, if we're talking about what can we do to grow in our relationship? If I could tell you how to battle the things that you struggle with in your faith, would you be interested? If I could share with you some ways to let go of worry or doubt or anxieties, would you love to know what that is? Would you love to know how to be a better parent or a grandparent, a better friend or a better spouse? I think most of us would want to do that. Would you love to know how you could do life better every single day? I think a lot of us would. And If I was the guy who created the iPhone, I would say, well, guess what? There's an app for that. But I'm not. But God did us one better. He gave us this, His Word. And it is filled with wisdom and with Scripture so that we can find the answers. We can do life better. The fact is that this book right here is a book that stands out among all books across the world. And depending upon where you grew up and what age you are right now, you probably see this book a little bit differently. There's some people who see this book as being revered. As a matter of fact, when I was growing up, we had one of those big Bibles, you know, like the big ones with a huge binding. I mean, the thing was huge. And it was opened up, and that one we didn't use. You didn't touch that because I might break it. So I wasn't allowed to touch that Bible. But a Bible was to be revealed. It was a focal part of our home. And we all had our own Bibles that we used and that we read. And there are some people who look at this and they say, there's some good stories in here, but it can't be trusted. And there are some others who say, you know what, it was a one-time bestseller and it makes no difference to me. The fact is that we here at Central, we believe that this book is God's Word. And we believe that it is the only thing that can dictate, that can guide us into what we should believe and what we should do. We say that this book has authority over our lives. If you got one of these, why don't you grab it, open it up to the New Testament. If you don't, there's one that looks probably just like this in the pew there, right there in front of you. And open up to the book of 2 Timothy. All right, we're going to take a look at 2 Timothy. And as you're flipping to that, if you are unfamiliar with it, it is page 833 in one of the pew Bibles. Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy, is not written, unlike some of the other books that are named named for the person who wrote it, their author. Timothy is not written by Timothy. It was written by actually his mentor, the Apostle Paul. He was writing to his mentee, a man who was doing God's work in a different city. He sent him a letter, and this is part of that letter to him, okay? Page 833, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is God breathed. All Scripture is God breathed. I don't think you can say that about any other book that you have in your house. Chicken Soup for the Soul, the latest Oprah Winfrey book, your instruction manual for the VCR, or your DVD player, or Blu-ray player, or whatever you got, or maybe for that universal remote that you don't know how to use. This is the sole book. This is the sole thing that we have that has been God-breathed. What does that mean to be God-breathed? Some Bibles says it's inspired by God. But have you heard that term where God breathed once before? Back at creation, right? It was Genesis chapter 2, where it says, then the Lord formed man from dust, from the dust of the ground, and he breathed life into the nostrils of man. God breathed. From the innermost being of God, he gave forth life to man. And from the innermost of God, he has breathed out his word for us. That same action of God giving life to us, well, he's kind of given life to his word. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says this, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. One person said, God's word kind of has a way of getting underneath our skin, doesn't it? You know, we believe that God's word, it is inspired by God, it is God-breathed. But it is more than that. We believe that God's word has authority over our life. If you still have your finger in 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's continue on, because I cut that verse off after just one small phrase. All scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. If you believe that God is the God of creation, and that he has come to know us personally, to have a relationship with us, and if you think God loves us so much that he is willing to do something totally unbelievable, like sending his own son Jesus to come and to die on the cross for our sins, then it's so hard to believe that he wanted to give us some guidance for our life, some direction, some way to understand the world and to understand him. For those of us who came behind Christ here on this earth, this word has been given to us so that it can have authority in our lives, so it can be our instruction. As a matter of fact, in Psalms 19, by the way, I don't know if you guys know this, but if you have a Bible and you're always wanting to find kind of the book of Psalms, if you find the exact center of it, you're probably going to find the book of Psalms. It's a pretty neat little trick. Psalms 19, starting in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord, they're trustworthy, making wise the simple, making things clear. The precepts of the Lord, they're right, giving joy to our heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant and giving light to the eyes. For the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. This is what God is saying here about his word, about how important it is for us and for our lives. How they take things that are complex and they make them understandable. How they are our guidance. How we can see what his decrees are and how he is righteous. Are most of you guys on board with this? Do you guys believe that this is God's word and that he has given this to us for our lives, for guidance, to have authority within our lives? And if you are here today as a follower of Christ, if you've given your life over to him, if you've been baptized and you say that you walk with him daily, then do you believe that about his word? Amen. Let's go back to your list that you made a few minutes ago of those songs that you knew. I gave you just a couple of minutes and you came up with 8, 10, 16, 20 different songs that you knew. If I asked you to write down right now the number of Bible verses that you know, how would those lists compare? Would you know more Bible verses than you do songs? My students and I, we spend a lot of time listening to music. And when we came up with our list of songs, we came up with dozens of songs that we knew. And then as we started thinking about how many Bible verses we know, God's instructions, his letter to us, and we compare how much time we spend in that versus how much time we spend listening just to music alone, we got convicted. We are filling our mind with things that are not of God. And so we made the commitment that we wanted to get into God's word more. We wanted to get to the point where it saturated our lives. My third year at Lincoln Christian University, I got a new roommate. And He was also a student heading off into the ministry here soon, he was hoping. And where I grew up here in the Rockford area, I grew up on the north side of town, kind of in the country area at that point in time. Not much was developed around us. We didn't have air conditioning growing up. And so I remember as a kid going to bed at night and falling asleep with the windows open and the sounds of the crickets in the air and all the other insects that come to life after dark. And I loved it. And when I came to Lincoln, we still kind of had that. If you opened up the windows, there's a lot of cornfields out there in Lincoln. And we had all kinds of bugs that would come to life after night or after dark. And my new roommate, he didn't come from a country area. He came from Indianapolis. He grew up to the sounds of cars flying by all night long. And when he moved out to Lincoln, he kind of went through a little bit of a culture shock. And my roommate, he had, over the years, this being his third year, he had developed a lot of ways to deal with the fact that he's really kind of out in the middle of nowhere. And one of these rituals he kind of fell into was when it was time to go to bed at night, after we brushed our teeth and got changed. I mean, by the way, we didn't have a big dorm room by any means. It was literally like 15 feet wide by 20 feet long. And that was enough for two beds and two dressers and two closets and two desks and a little pathway to walk in between the beds. That's about all you had. So there was no room to escape from one another. And so when my roommate was time to go to bed, it was time for all of us to go to bed. I didn't have a choice. And when he would get ready to go to bed, the last thing that he would do was he would turn on the TV and he would pop this little DVD into the DVD player and he would proceed to fall asleep to a movie every single night. And it was The Hunt for Red October. And so for the first month of school, it was at least until the end of September, I never fell asleep until the movie was done. Because once something starts, you got to watch the whole thing. And I couldn't tune it out. And so every single night, I got to sit here and watch this movie about Jack Ryan and Sean Connery acting as the captain of a Russian submarine. And to the point where that whole year, I can't tell you how many times we quoted the movie, how many times we made life illustrations, comparisons to the movie, because it was like constantly in my mind. I mean, I listened to it every single night. As a matter of fact, the very beginning of the movie, it starts off with all the Russians and their submarines are getting ready to take off, and they sing the Russian national anthem in Russian, that I could sing it along with them. I knew it that much. I didn't know what it meant, but I could sing the first half of the Russian national anthem. It was sad. I want to be that way with God's word, where I'm doing everyday life, and I'm so saturated with his word and the way he sees things, the way he sees me, the way he sees others, the things that he wants us to do and say, it comes out of me naturally. Would you like that? Where we live and we walk and we do nothing but hear God's word in our head. I want to get to the point that when I read some of the things that God says, I'm just struck and I'm in awe. And it changes me from the inside out. For example, Romans chapter 8. I can go over there real quick. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. He says, "And if the Spirit is in him who raised Christ from the dead and is living in you, raised Christ from the dead, he will also give you life to your mortal bodies because it is his Spirit who lives in you." I read something like that, and I know it's worded a little bit differently, but basically what it's saying is, if you're a follower of Christ, you have his Spirit residing within you. And so let me ask you, when Jericho was up here a little while ago, reading and talking with you about having joy and having peace, did you just see a young man standing up there? Or did you see somebody who was filled with the Holy Spirit standing in front of you? And when you saw these young people up here leading us in worshiping our awesome God, did you simply see some nice teenagers up there that made you smile? Or did you see sons and daughters of the King? I know it's easy to do when you see Sherm up here speaking and teaching. I know it's easy to look at your Sunday school teachers and see, you know what? The power of God's within them. I see him working in them. But the fact is that if you are here, if you've given your life over to Christ, if you've been baptized, if you are following him, he says that that spirit is within you. And what spirit am I talking about? You know, the Old Testament, back when there was the temple, and you had the different courts and where people were allowed to go to certain areas, and there was the innermost spot, the holies of holies, that they were never allowed to go in because that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where the presence of God resided. And only once a year, the high priest and the high priest alone was allowed to go inside of there. And in order for him to go in there, he had to prepare. And they prepared very well because they knew if they didn't get things just right, when he entered, he might die. But yet when Christ died on the cross, the Bible says that divide, that veil was torn in two, representing the fact that the Spirit of God no longer resides within the Holy of Holies. But here Paul is telling us that spirit resides within us. And so because of that, when I look at my students, even when they get all squirrely, I have to remember that they have the presence of God within them. They are my brother. They are my sister. Do you see them as that? Do you see that within yourself? So often we sell ourselves short because we think, I'm only human. But God says, no, you're not. You are my child. You are my adopted son and daughter. And I have saved you for so much more. Another one real quick. I know I'm over time, but oh well. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. Jesus, he's speaking on the Mount of Olives. He says, you know what? It's better for you to gouge out your eye than for your whole body to be in danger of the fires of hell. It's better for you to cut off your right arm if it is causing you to sin than for you to go through life without rather than being in danger of the fires of hell. Do we take him seriously at that? Would you be willing to cut things out of your life to protect you from the dangers of the sins that you fall into time and time again? Jesus, just before that, was talking about idolatry and about the importance of being willing to remove sin from our lives and go into extremes to do so. You know, one of probably the biggest things that causes sin within this world is probably the very first thing I pulled up this morning. It was one of these. It's amazing what it can do, both good and bad. It allows me to be reachable at any point in time, at any moment, 24/7. It allows me to have God's word in 100 different versions in an instant. It allows me to touch base with my parents and with my kids. But it also pulls millions of people away from having real life contact and relationships with the people that God has placed within their lives. It provides things for them to look at that no person should be looking at. It's a place where we can go to, and as we surf on social media, become filled with jealousy at what other people are doing, what other people are having, or other people have, and we become discontent. There's times that I just want to give this up. That I just want to throw it away and go back to my old brick phone, the old Nokia that we all started off with, that allowed me to make a phone call. And yeah, sure, it's a little inconvenient to hit the 1-3 times to get to the letter C or whatever it is to make the text. But would I be willing to do something that's so extreme as to get rid of my smartphone so I could avoid sin and temptation from my life. Maybe for you, it's not the phone. Maybe it's the TV that's in your house. What are you watching? How much of it do you watch? Are you one of those that always has to watch the newest episodes of things that come up so you don't get spoiled from the other people about what happened? Or are you like me, where it's always on HGTV so you can figure out how to make your house even nicer? And get frustrated at the people who have these huge budgets to remodel their house because they're a part-time teacher or something. I don't know. It's just weird. What if you were somebody who said, you know what? This TV is pulling me away from God. It's causing me to sin because of jealousy or whatever. Would you be willing to get rid of it? And if somebody came over to your house and said, why don't you have a TV? Would you have the nerve to say, it's better for me to let go of the TV and possibly walk in sin and be in danger of the fires of hell? I want to take God's word seriously. I want it to have authority over my life. I want it to make changes within me, because that is why God has given it to us. I want to be saturated with his word. I want to see you as God sees you. I want to hurt and cry for the loss like Jesus did. So here's my challenge for you. Saturate yourself in his word. Fill your life with it. If you don't have one of these of your own, then I'm giving you permission right now to grab that one that's in the pew and take it home with you today. Because this is God's word. And he has given it to each of us so that we might know him and follow him better. Would you pray with me? God, we are so grateful that you have given us this amazing gift, your word, this Bible. And God, it's amazing to think what you have done to provide it for us. But God, we are grateful that you have given it to us so that we can know you, so we can understand you better, so we can know what we should be doing with our lives, so we can find comfort when we need it and direction for when we're lost, and so we can find hope when we feel like there is none. Because God, your word, it is one of your greatest gifts that you've given us. And to be honest, a lot of us take it for granted. So God, help us to start today. Spend time in your word. Let us ponder on it. Let us talk about it. Let's go back and reread it again and again. Because your word is alive and it works miracles through the work of your spirit within our lives. And God, we need that. God, I thank you that you love us enough to use something like this to make us more like you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. So I don't know where you're at with your life. Is today the day that you need to recommit to spending time in God's word? Or is today the day that maybe you need to respond to God's call upon your life in general? Have you not accepted his offer of forgiveness that we talked about last week? Are you finally coming to terms that God loves you so much that he wants to know you and to be known by you personally? Then today is your day. A day to respond to his love. A day to accept his love and forgiveness in his life, in your life. Is a day for you to now become the son or daughter of the King. If that's a decision you need to make today, then I encourage you at some point in time today, come forward. After the song is done, I'd love to talk with you about that. If you want to understand how do you start reading God's word, if you've never done it before, come talk to me. I'd love to give you some pointers. You know what? Now is your time to respond. Don't simply stand and sing, but respond to God's call upon your life. Let's stand and worship him together.
Would you guys please get back into your groups? Joy. Unlike happiness, joy is gladness that is completely independent of the good or bad things that happen in the course of the day. In fact, joy denotes a supernatural gladness given by God's Spirit that actually seems to show up best during hard times. This is a product of fixing your focus on God's purposes for the events in your life, rather than on the circumstances. Question. Am I experiencing a joy of life on a regular basis, or is my happiness dependent on things going smoothly in my day? Let us pray for joy. Peace. It's not the absence of turmoil, but the presence of tranquility even while in a place of chaos. It is a sense of wholeness and completeness that is content knowing that God controls the events of the day. Question. Do I find myself frazzled by the crashing waves of turmoil in my life, or am I experiencing the peace that passes all comprehension? Let us pray for peace.
Self-control. Our fussy desires, Scripture tells us, are continually at odds with God's Spirit and always want to be in charge. Self-control is literally releasing our grip on the fleshy desires, choosing instead to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. It is power focused in the right place. Question. Are my fussy desires controlling my life, or am I allowing the Spirit to direct me to the things that please God and serve others? Let us pray for self-control.
Prayer. Isn't it beautiful that the Creator of the universe listens to us when we speak to Him? Jeremiah 29, verse 12 says that, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Isn't that amazing? He will hear us without hesitation. How are we supposed to pray? John chapter 14, verse 13 says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." We don't have to memorize anything. There are no requirements, no necessities. God will hear us in any language, any place, any time. People feel special when they are heard, especially when it is the maker of the universe. When I was a missionary in Italy, family that attended our church had been trying for years to have another baby. Their names are Mariana and Simone. Mariana and Simone are two of the most joyful and kind people I know. Why wouldn't God bring them a child? They asked the church for prayer, and together we prayed. We continued to pray, and we didn't lose hope. Surely one day she walked into the church praising and thanking God because she was pregnant. And after a long 9 months, Nicholas was born on December 6, 2014. That's just beautiful. God answers our prayers and gave this couple a beautiful young boy. God is so vast and amazing, and He always listens to us no matter what we have to say. And every week as a church, we spend time to remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We eat this piece of bread and drink this cup of juice and remember of what Jesus did for us. When the tray is passed around, take a piece of bread and a cup of juice. It is also a great time to spend in prayer. I encourage you to pray for somebody that is hurting or in need of God. Dear God, please help us to pray and to really accept these words and these things that we ask in front of you, God. Amen.